So you won't know if you're talking to a bot or the actual person at some point?
It gets better than that, because since it's the voice of Jen, if it gets to a point where it can't handle the conversation, it hands it over to you live, and the voice is now your voice is the same voice you were speaking with. I mean, can you imagine a synthetic Gittimer? You'd never know when it was real or if it was Jeffrey.
I'm sorry, Jen. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow. I'm so sorry, Jeffrey.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
No, you're not.
Okay, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, and I am the author of the Little Red Book of Selling, biggest selling sales book of all time. And to my right is...
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
And she has produced, arguably, the best Sales New York Minute video of all time. You should go on YouTube right now and go to her Sales in the New York Minute and watch it. It's amazing.
Thank you,
Jeffrey. Wish you had a video like that in your repertory library. But today it's time to sell or die. And we have an amazing show.
Oh, yeah.
My 40-year friend, Mark Coudray, is going to be on the show today. One of the smartest people I've ever met.
That makes you sound old.
Pardon?
That makes you sound old.
It does make me sound
well,
old.
Well, is Mark 40 or is...
Mark is 41.
Are you trying to say that you've been friends for 40 years?
We have been friends for more than 40 years, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Yeah.
Great guy. One of the smartest people I've ever met. And he's going to be talking about artificial intelligence. And what else we got?
Yeah, it's going to be a little scary. It's really...
Yeah, this is not the scary part of it. He's not going to come and, I'm sorry, Dave, I'm afraid I can't do that.
But it's interesting that he actually kind of does sound like Hal.
He does sound like Hal.
A little bit.
I agree.
You're going to hear that in just a second.
He does.
Okay, cool.
But anyway, get excited for that. It's going to be an amazing, amazing episode.
Yeah, he's good. And he's the future that you may – he's not going to take sales jobs away. Rather, he's going to supplement salespeople's intelligence so that they can make more sales.
Well, let's not give away too much. Before we get to Mark's piece – we had this article here, and I'm just going to pull it up. So on entrepreneur.com, I was reading this article, 10 Social Media Trends to Prepare for in 2018 by Deep Patel. And we're going to talk about this article a little bit. So here are the 10 social media trends to prepare for in 2018. Number one, rise of augmented reality. Number two, increasing popularity of Instagram stories.
Should I be drum rolling on this?
Oh, you can. Three, continued investment in influencer marketing. Four, focus on Generation Z. Five, increasing brand participation in messaging platforms. Six, expansion of live streaming. Seven, rethinking Twitter. Eight, digital hangouts go mainstream. Nine, Facebook Spaces goes mainstream. And 10, social platforms embrace stronger governance policies. Now, he goes into more detail about each of these 10 in his article, but let's break it down, and we'll put the link in the show notes, but let's break it down and talk about a few of these, Jeffrey. Which one sticks out most to you?
Well, for me, the one that sticks out the most is Generation Z because it goes from 8 years old to 22 years old. It's the death of the millennial. Because these people are actually conscientious about their lives and don't want their mom to pay their phone bill. And they are much more conscientious about money. But Jason Dorsey is going to come on the show and talk about that. And we have Gabrielle.
Jason Dorsey is like the
He's the generation expert of all time. Yeah.
Generations.
He has agreed to come on the show sometime in the near future. And Gabrielle, our 8-year-old daughter, is going to be the actual Gen Z representative.
Well, there's so much that has to go in. That's cool. She'll be a great representative. There's so much that has to go into a focus on Gen Z because right now, most companies out there, or a lot of companies out there, are targeting millennials.
Of course.
And so they're going to have to shift how they're doing their social media, how they're doing their advertising campaigns, and what they're doing to really get into the emotions of a Gen Zer.
I think what they have to do is target the millennials' mothers because they're the ones that have the money.
Every time we say Jen, I'm thinking of myself.
So. This is really disappointing to me as a millennial because I was just getting used to being catered to by like there's 90s nights everywhere, all of the commercials, they're bringing back all of the rebooting all of my favorite TV shows, and now you're telling me over. My moment in the sun is already over.
Well, it's not. Listen, it's your moment in the sun is still there, but the sun is beginning to set. And you have to realize that the new generation is taking over. Those the kids that are now in just graduated from college. They're paying their own bills. They're paying their own way. They're industrious. They're outworking the millennials, according to the information. And it's going to be a change in our society. Tremendous. What do you want to talk about, Jen?
Number six is the expansion of live streaming. And I think this is key because so much right now is all about live videos. Yeah. And, you know, certain networks like Facebook are downplaying videos that link you out to other networks like YouTube.
Yeah.
So if you post your YouTube video on Facebook, they don't put it in the news feed as much as if you did a video on Facebook and used that video.
But the reason they are upplaying them rather than downplaying them is because they're so easy to do. You can set your phone on yourself. You can put up a little tripod. And boom, we just did a bunch of Facebook Lives on the Yes Attitude book.
The thing about live streaming is people actually want to know what's going on in your life. And by, you know, in the last few years, I've seen a huge increase in the number of scheduling tools out there where you can just schedule your posts by like a machine, right?
Yeah.
And now the social networks are so congested with so much information overload, because people are scheduling posts, they're having things repeated themselves. Yep. They don't even have to be there at a computer to re-upload something. And now with the live streaming, you have to be there. Okay, no one can live stream for you if you're not there. And it's so real and it's so personal. It gets at everything we're thinking and talking about with selling.
It's the reality TV on the internet.
Exactly. But it really gives me insight into who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And it gives me insight into would I want to do business with you.
I was able to do it for the Yes Attitude book. I was able to live stream from my library and talk to people and point to books and to give tours and it was like a fun thing to do.
Yeah, and you know what? People were engaging. People were excited about it, and they got to see a little bit more about you.
Thousands of people. Like hundreds.
It's very cool. Yeah,
it also points to a shift in the paradigm about social media marketing, right? Because Jeffrey, when you were first broaching this subject, the thinking was, you know, make a blog post and then put that blog post on all of the social media channels that you're a part of. But now, and that was in a time when social media channels were really just looking for users and content.
Right. That was last year. Mm-hmm. This is this year.
Well, now, as Jen was saying, all of these social media channels now, Facebook and Google and Twitter, they're all looking to keep those users on their platform. And so you have to sort of shift your thinking and say, if I'm going to be on Facebook, I've got to be on Facebook and leverage Facebook to the best of my ability, as opposed to thinking about taking one thing and spreading it out.
We're going to be living examples of that in the very near future. We're going to be doing more live streaming on specific networks and keeping it there.
Oh, yeah. It'll be cool.
And
so,
we're looking at these guideposts, and we're going to try to take advantage of at least four or five of them. To make sure that we're, number one, current, and number two, slightly ahead of the curve.
Yeah, this is a great article from Deep Patel.
Yeah.
So you wanted to talk about influencer marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about it.
What is influencer marketing?
Influencer marketing
is when Kim Kardashian... Doug, could you please do your...
It's when Kim Kardashian gets on Snapchat and a makeup company has provided her with makeup, and she says, "Oh my God, I love this makeup."
Influencer marketing is a new word for the old word testimonial. Mm. And they're doing it in either live or almost a live format. And it is very influential because there's so many millions of people online at any given moment in time. And they all want to, they're all following Kim Kardashian. And she'll go, "Check out my video on da 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 da," and boom. And the whole thing, she has a fan base. She's got a following just like anybody else does. She's an example. There's thousands of other people that are doing exactly the same thing.
So it goes to your concept.
Yep.
Do you want to say it?
Yeah. when you say it about yourself, it's bragging. When someone else says it about you, it's proof. Mm-hmm. So if the makeup company came on and said, we're the greatest makeup since sliced bread. Look how beautiful our mascara looks. It doesn't streak or blah, 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 blah. But Kim Kardashian comes on and goes, this is pretty good shit. And people go, oh, it's good shit. We better go get it right away.
Yeah, and she'll say like the exact color she's using. And then everyone thinks that's their color too, which is so funny. But you know what? There's a key to the influencer marketing. Mm-hmm. If you're an influencer marketeer, you have to be very strategic about what you choose to promote.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you promote something to your audience because you got it for free and, you know, they just ship, they literally, companies send product out.
I'm sure there's
hundreds of thousands of dollars of product out across
it's
the
like
world.
Swag only.
Oh, yeah. So that people will go on YouTube and Facebook and whatnot and promote their stuff. And if you just promote everything, you're going to lose trust.
I agree.
And
but
so
if you
that's
are not drinking Death Wish coffee, you're going to lose caffeine.
Are you saying we're influencers?
Right. We're doing. If I tell you to go to deathwishcoffee.com, if I tell you to subscribe to their K-Cups, I'm influence marketing for them.
Yeah, but the thing is, we actually drink it and love it and use it. We can't get our hands on enough bags of those. Those things are like hot commodities here. Okay, they go.
But the challenge is, if you're not doing it yourself, you're going to be insincere about it.
Exactly.
And if you're not using it yourself or a product of the product yourself, it's going to be, it'll fall on deaf ears because you won't have that exuberance about it. That, you know, like I love Death Wish coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's because I just had a cup of it. But but the bottom line is, it's great coffee.
It is. I put brain fuel in mine now.
Okay,
but
so that's an example, a living example of influence marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it used to be called testimonial because there's always an old name for it because it goes back for testimonials go back to the turn of the last century. John Patterson, best example of it, the founder of the National Cash Register Company, only used testimonial ads. Only.
Yeah, that's cool.
So he was a pull-through marketeer and a testimonial advertiser.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the challenge to salespeople out there who are listening. Who is going to be your influencer marketers this year?
And how are you going to find them? And how are you going to get them into your podcast studio? Or how are you going to get them to turn their iPhone on themselves and talk about how great you are?
Yeah.
Just that simple.
To their network of people they can influence.
Yep. Or customers. On your network when they do a Facebook Live with you, or they do a testimonial video and you put it up on your Facebook or YouTube or wherever you choose to put it. But the bottom line is, other people talking about you and bragging about you is the fulcrum point of building your credibility.
Yes, and especially to their network because it opens you up to more people that who may not know you.
And unless you have $1 million to give to Kim Kardashian, then you better have a great product or service and you better provide value.
Yeah, you should be able
that's
to
right,
do yours
Doug.
For $500,000.
You're learning a lot about sales, you know,
well,
Doug.
Listen, I have great teachers.
No, he has Kim Kardashian as the president of the fan club.
That's right.
Oh, man. All right. So I think it's time. I mean, do you want to talk about the Yes Attitude book after the interview?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, cool.
But I want to talk about Mark Coudray for just a minute because I met him in the 70s from San Luis Obispo. I was cold calling textile screen printers wanting to do my consulting services, and he bought me. And we redid his factory. It was total fun. And then he felt like he had enough of me, and he sent me home.
Wait, he fired you?
Yeah, he fired me.
Is he the only person to have ever fired you?
Ever.
Oh, my God. And they're still friends.
Oh, yeah. In fact, we almost did a business deal.
Do you think you became more friendly with each other because he fired you?
I have no idea. But I can tell you this. We're amazing friends today.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's had some tragedy in his life. He's had a lot of success in his life. But I can tell you, he's a brilliant guy who has decided to stay ahead of the curve going into the artificial intelligence world and trying to figure out how it can augment, supplement, increase sales, people, and sales. Not just sales people, but sales themselves, like make more sales. So he's gone into a telemarketing room and shown people how literally he has doubled or tripled sales in an arena that I consider exceptionally difficult. And he did it. And he's programming it and making it happen. He's on the cutting edge of it. And I think you're going to find his information incredibly, incredibly valuable to you. He is from decisive.com. You'll see the link in our footnotes.
Show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And please help me welcome my friend, the great Mark Coudray.
End of 2014, early 2015, I was asked to work with a friend of mine who benchmarks call centers, and the assignment was a inbound call center.
Mm-hmm.
And in working with the salespeople that were in that call center, it became very apparent that they really weren't salespeople. They were scared to death of sales, but they were doing sales. And so, and what compounded the situation was that the account was a holistic retreat. So they were teaching yoga in the afternoon and were working in the call center in the morning. And it was, I could tell right away that any of the traditional sales approaches was not going to work, any traditional sales training. So I embarked in the typical analytical way that I work. And I started looking at the neuroscience of how we make decisions in our brain. What parts of our brain are activated when we're scared of something, you know, the fight or flight areas, what parts become comfortable, the pleasure and the pain responses. And then I started mapping the movement of activity in our brain based on certain words that we were using. So words would elicit a response, and that response would either be positive or negative. And so over the course of a six-month period, I created this thing called the semantic index, and the semantic index basically is how our mind responds to these different words. And IBM heard about it on the Watson project, and we entered into a non-disclosure agreement with them in the spring of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
After I'd finished the project, and we had a huge response from the work that we did. The conversion rates went from ridiculously low, like 25% to 75 to 95% for the team for a given day on a sustained basis.
Wow.
That's fascinating.
It's huge. It was huge.
Can you give us an example of how one word, like what word would take me towards a positive route or a negative route? How does that work?
Well, again, it has to do with positioning when somebody would respond to it. So for I'm trying to think of things that are not specific to that one client
because
I don't want to, you know, do it. But it, essentially, it's describing the words based on the direction that you want to go. So, you know, we started from the position of features and benefits, which mm-hmm. is the way everybody starts, right? But then it evolved to the outcome. So the pathway that we started with was picking words that describe the outcome of where you were going to end up. Mm. So if they were coming to a holistic retreat, we would start at the very beginning with a greeting that would basically say, you know, welcome to perfect life or something like that.
Cool.
And so you set the stage for where they're actually going to go. So right away, the defensiveness dropped. It evolved over time into a very specific type of a scripting framework or format. And now it's working really, really well because we can plug it into any kind of a sales model, and it basically is the same kind of a thing. It's a guided conversation that moves them from where they are right now in a state of chaos through calming to purpose and intent, and then to their own conclusion. And the universal close for every sales situation is, we can help you with that. When would you like to get started?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's as salesy as it gets.
Wow.
That's pretty salesy, though.
That's pretty salesy.
I want to buy a pack of gum. But we can help you with that. And you take the pressure out of it, therefore – you take the barriers out of it, the unspoken barriers of risk or the unspoken barriers of, I'm not sure, I don't know if I trust this person or not.
Perfect. So. Exactly. And, you know, if we go through and we look at all of the work that's been published in the last 50 years when it deals with sales structures, persuasion, manipulation, the typical kinds of things that people negatively associate with sales, there's always this sense that you're, you know, that you're trying to get something. It's like you want to get my stuff. And, you know, I was listening to one of the earlier podcasts that you were talking about, and it was talking about it's never about us. It's always about them. It's always about our client. And the aspect of value really comes into the core driver to this, because the value, the way I see it and the way it's applied, is based on sometimes not even our customer, but it's our customer's customer. So when we extend our view two or three levels deeper into it, we're able to create a scenario that doesn't feel like you're trying to sell something. You're creating an experience. You're creating an experience that that prospect is holistically embracing. So it goes beyond just the individual thing that you're trying to transact. Mm-hmm. You're going in, you're creating something that's much bigger than that.
But so it is an emotional engagement. Correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely, but an emotional engagement.
Is the robot like on a screen telling me what to say? Like, how does this work?
Okay, so this
is in my ear.
This is really cool. So the way that we use this is we take recorded conversations. So we'll record the calls, and all calls are recorded for quality assurance purposes.
Of course.
And so, maybe used for training. And maybe held against you.
Exactly. And so what we did is we went in and we would analyze the calls. We would go voice to text with a very high accuracy, over 90%, 92% accuracy. And we would analyze for specific words, and we would look at those specific words. Now, the semantic index that I built is kind of on a scale of like -5 to +5. So -5 would be a really negative term, and +5 would be extremely positive.
So a negative term would be like, I'm not interested?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, if you were looking at it in a customer service situation, Jeffrey, you'd be perfect at this. Just imagine that you were talking to US Air. we know where that's going, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you get on the phone and you're going, you know, mofos, I'm jumping off.
But you've taken the tone out of the context, right? Because if your voice is texting it.
No, actually, we take the tonality in there. We're looking at all the different aspects. We're looking at emotional sentiment. There's 24 emotions that we can detect from the actual call. We're looking at the amplification, the modulation. All of these different triggers go into this algorithm. And not only the words, but we look at the words on a scale of -5 to +5 being polarity. So you have negative to positive polarity. And we know that anything over a 3 puts you into the decision-making mode. So by creating this map and with machine learning and through things like thesauruses, right? Mm-hmm. So we can essentially create a pathway going from -5 to +5 with synonyms of the words. So if you say, you know, I'm never going to fly with you guys again. I'm going to call the FTC. I'm going to sue you guys. You know, I'm really, really pissed, right? And you can, the next step would be to say, I understand that you're extremely upset. So I haven't used a curse word, and I've just basically acknowledged the fact that you're upset, which is one of the first things that we need to deal with in terms of dealing with the objections. And I've moved him from a -5 to -4. And the next step is to move him to a -2 and then get him neutral, and then, you know, her or whoever it would be, move them into positivity.
Is this all happening real time?
Yes, it is. Wow. And so what's happening now is that we're the first stage of the project was to create a forensic tool where we could analyze a sales call, and we could put in triggers, and we could show you what was happening with the inflection points and how things were moving, and where what words you used that killed the sentiment and caused a tipping point, either negative or positive, in that. And using the artificial side of it, the machine learning side of it, the machine, you know, the software is learning from every conversation that we do.
Of course.
Right.
It's interesting, but it has 100% retention.
Yes.
So it's not like you learn and then you forget 20% of it 80% of the time, or 80% of it 20% of the time.
Right.
You know, Pareto, our buddy.
Right, our buddy Pareto.
But the challenge is that when you learn everything every time, every second, you can come up with some amazing answers in an extremely short period of time.
And Jeffrey, I couldn't ask for a better segue. So the direction that this is going is we're seeing this move into the point now where if you're in a call center or you're making a sales call, this is a live app that's running. And because of the semantic words that are being used and the ability to detect tonality and sentiment, emotional sentiment in there, the software will actually deliver back the next line of the script that's optimized for that conversation.
But how does the salesperson then, who's human, make it sound real and authentic and like it's coming from them? It sounds like I have someone in my ear telling me what to say throughout the entire sale.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is not a script like we would normally do. You know, I think of somebody that's doing timeshare, right? Yeah. They've got this script or they're just pitching like crazy, right?
Yeah.
These are guided conversations. So essentially what you're doing is you're asking a question that lays the framework for the prospect to think in their own mind what the answer is. And that question is designed to migrate their emotional state, right? And in the process of doing that, what is provided to the agent is essentially the question.
Got it.
Right?
That's really cool.
Would this work in timeshare?
It'd work in anything.
Yeah.
I've done it with steel processing, like mini steel mills, insurance, all kinds of different holistic call centers, t-shirt printers. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. It works universally.
That's cool. So you take the emotion, whether it's positive or negative.
Yes.
And you drift it towards positive.
Right.
A bit at a time.
Right. We guide it.
And it's not like – so you take defensiveness out of service response.
Exactly. There's never any there is no defensive barrier here because these are questions that are designed – basically discovery questions, but they're non-invasive questions. That's a big deal, is that if you're asking the typical kinds of probing questions, that creates a defensive scenario because you're saying, why are you asking me these questions? We don't know each other well enough yet to be asking me those kinds of questions.
So, right. No, what keeps you up at night? Answer, none of your business.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But does it know if you're not asking the questions it's telling you to ask? And does it like – well, does it react?
Yeah. So what happens is you get a in the interface for the software, what happens is you'll get a green, yellow, or red. So if you're a response where you've got kind of a neutral response, it'll show negative, or it'll show yellow. But it'll also show you which words that you're using and what the polarity of that word is.
That's so incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
What does the future look like?
So the future looks like this, right? We are all familiar with Siri and Alexa and. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just in
Google,
the last year,
Google
Home and Google Go and all these different things. Our phones are on all the time. Every time, every conversation that
mine's not. I swear to God, it's in airplane mode.
Yeah, right.
No, it's.
I'd like to have a nickel for every person that did not put their phone on airplane mode when they were instructed to. Just a nickel.
I'm just waiting for the federal marshals to come storming on the plane and pull the guy out of the seat because he wasn't in airplane mode. But our phones are always on. Our devices in our home are always on. And they're using, you know, they're analyzing these millions and millions of conversations for dialect and accents and vocabulary and all these kinds of things. So where this is going is right now, version one was strictly forensic for forensic coaching. And that would give us a readout of the call. We could watch it in real time to review with our salesperson and coach them.
So they see themselves?
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, they'll be able to see the call. It's two tracks. It's like a stereo track, and you can watch your voice track and their voice track. That's the lowest level. The next level after that is where the system dynamically generates the actual specific code or the actual specific sentence of the script or the next question in the sequence for them. The next generation gets very interesting because at this point, with speech analytics and the way that the speech processing is going, we can record the agent's voice and create a synthetic voice, just like Siri is a synthetic voice.
Yeah.
And the
Wait, it is? Go ahead. I thought she was talking to me.
And essentially create the front end of the questioning sequence, the interview with the bot.
So you won't know if you're talking to a bot or the actual person at some point?
It gets better than that because since it's the voice of Jen, if it gets to a point where it can't handle the conversation, it hands it over to you live, and the voice is now your voice is the same voice you were speaking with.
I'm sorry, Jen. I'm afraid I can't do that. And then it's up to you.
I mean, can you imagine a synthetic Gittimer? And never know. You'd never know.
You would never know when it was real
or if it was Jeffrey.
And by the way, what ran through my mind when you were eloquently talking about what was happening is it's no longer Big Brother.
No,
it's Big Google or it's Big Apple
or Big Salesforce
or Big Amazon.
Big Einsteins.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've opened up their platforms to anybody. So speech analytics and machine learning is now a commodity. Anybody can access it, no matter how big or small your company is.
Wow.
IBM Bluemix is the access platform to code and program and develop artificial intelligence applications on the IBM platform.
And are you afraid that that artificial will take over normal?
You know, it's the things that I've seen in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's like anything else. Technology has the potential to be incredibly frightening or incredibly enabling. Mm-hmm. It's really on what your intent is and how you want to do
it. So there'll be bad guys.
There's always bad guys. And I'm telling you what, in the hands of bad guys, I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I'm concerned.
Imagine recording the president's voice and then sending orders that seem like they're from...
I mean, they're already doing this. They've got artificially generated video that lip syncs to the person's.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see them on YouTube. What's out there? It's crazy.
Yeah, those things are cool.
You can never believe what you see anymore. You can never believe what you hear anymore.
Wow.
Oh wow! How pleasant that's going to be. My buddy Richard. Mm-hmm. Thinks it will either be their slaves or they'll kill us.
We're all going to die anyway, so what the heck?
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, what I'm hoping they'll do is just pay off our mortgage.
That would be amazing. Can they work for us?
But look at the opportunity for our own salespeople to be able to become.
Oh, it's incredible.
Oh, sure. Because they can, with nuance, another Frenchy word, with nuance, they'll be able to take somebody from a no to a yes.
Well,
it's even deeper than that. I mean, that's kind of the response aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked about predictive analytics or predictive modeling. This is an area where there's a lot of work that's being done right now. So essentially, you know, I do podcasts just like you do podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I have a coaching program that I do weekly accountability calls. I record all of those calls and I convert all of those calls to text and analyze the text. And so from that standpoint, I can create a phenomenal knowledge base of FAQ questions that is being driven by artificial intelligence or machine learning. And as a result of that, I can start seeing patterns in the conversations. So we've all had those classic conversations that end with, well, I don't know, I need to talk to my wife about this, or I need to think about it. You know,
I don't make decisions on the spot.
Right. All of those kinds of lame excuses. Well, you know, I used to get real annoyed by that as a salesperson. And then I realized I haven't done my job well enough.
Correct.
If I'm getting that response.
Mm-hmm. It is not the customer's fault at that moment in time.
It's totally,
you have failed to convince them in an emotional way that they're willing to take the step right now.
And that's where I realize that we have failed to transition at the neuroscience level in their mind to the emotional level where they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy, most people come into the market, the features and benefits aspect of it are the two lowest levels on the hierarchy.
Highest, I think, is Milky Way, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Or Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Yeah.
But creativity is the highest level. That's self-actualization. That's where you're out and you're artist, you know, you're an art. It's an art form at that point. And it's not associated with any of the costs that are involved. You're out there for a purpose that's the bigger purpose. The other two levels that are in the middle are recognition and self-esteem. And in the process of doing that, if we can't increase the level, the decision-making level, to the level of self-esteem or recognition, we're not going to get an emotional sale. We're going to be stuck at a commoditized sale level. And so by analyzing and looking at those triggers and looking at the words that are associated with self-esteem and recognition, we'll know whether we're ready to even ask for a close or even position for a close. Yeah. Anything before that, and it's going to end up in, I need to talk to my wife.
So they're right. It's a matter of timing, mm-hmm. not just a matter of what's the dialogue like.
Right.
But it seems like if you're taking this data and analyzing it, a salesperson could too. And it's not just that the machine is getting smarter and the bot is getting smarter, but the salesperson may no longer start at a negative five. They may say, wow, every time I start that way, it's wrong. I need to start here.
And actually, it's even better than that because during the discovery process, you're looking for the specific trigger words that are basically the warm-up to the call. You know, what brought you here today? How'd you hear about us? And the words that they choose at that point will tell you what their emotional starting point is.
Wow.
And it may not even
– It changes the salesperson's focus.
Totally.
And goal.
Totally.
Wow, that's incredible.
So along the bottom of a screen, I can see this thing. It moves along the way. It's red. Now it's like pink. And then it starts to get a little green. And then finally you're in the green zone.
Hot.
Right. And you can complete the sale.
I love it.
It's not close to sale.
So here's what happened, Jeffrey. I mean, I just love the way that you think because you're just following the natural path here. During the analysis, the initial calls that we were doing were running between 23 and 44 minutes. It was a very long call. By the time we were done, 6 months later, the calls had been reduced to 6 to 8 minutes.
Whoa. So you're saving time.
And the conversion rates had increased to 75 to 94%. In the case of the 75% conversions, it's because we didn't have inventory available for the days that they wanted to stay.
Yikes.
How do people feel? So if I'm the customer, you're the customer, and you don't know I have a bot guiding me, mm-hmm. or something guiding me, and then you find out. How do you feel about that?
You don't have to find out. It's just
it may become public knowledge, like that this so-and-so company is using artificial intelligence to help their salespeople.
It's not artificial intelligence to help their salespeople.
I don't want to feel tricked.
Uh-uh.
You never – there was – this is another thing. You know, we always have a situation in sales where you've got buyer's remorse. Especially mm-hmm. on anything that's a significant sales.
Yeah.
So in the 6 months that we were running the test, we had zero cancellations. Hmm. Zero.
And let me just add to that. In the old days of selling, manipulation was way worse.
Oh, right. My gosh.
You go into a car lot today and those people are horrible.
They're pretty bad. I agree there.
So I would rather have – Watson with me. Yeah, I brought my buddy.
it never feels salesy. I mean, there's zero sales feel because you're simply asking guided questions. Mm-hmm. You know, questions like how important is this, you know, to you? I mean, right now, you know, you're coming in, you're looking at these cars. Are you just, you know, gathering information or is this something that's urgent that you need to make mm-hmm. a decision?
The words have to be modified over time, but the process is right on the money.
Mm-hmm.
You can – You know, I always look for substitute words when I'm talking to people so that I don't sound like the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
My closing question has always been, is this fair enough? Mm-hmm. And they go, yeah, it's fair enough. Okay, well, here's how you can take advantage of it.
I like when do you want to get started?
Yeah, that's okay.
We can help you with that.
Yeah, we can help you with that when you get started. That's okay. But it's not like, you know, it's not a manipulative, mm-hmm. does this come in green? Do you want it in green?
Right.
It's not – it doesn't go hard.
You know, in the last, I would say probably 7 to 10 years, Robert Cialdini's book, Influence, has mm-hmm. been one of the big ones that everybody uses, the 6 influence factors, reciprocity, mm-hmm. power, authority, so on and so forth. This doesn't use any of those factors. So as a result of that, there's no trigger. There's no manipulative or persuasion triggers.
Right.
That's good.
And that's a key aspect is that when the triggers are absent, the trust factor goes up.
I would imagine very quickly too.
Yes.
And you're not deep on the dark side of the mind. You're deep on the bright side of the mind.
Correct. That's where you're moving.
I penned the little green book of Getting Your Way because I wanted it to be a positive book on the science of persuasion. Because everything that I have ever read on persuasion is dark.
It is.
Even the word persuasion
sounds hypnotic,
negative.
It's, you know, it's – anyway – And people have used it for real sinister purposes once they get into that dark room. So I wanted to just be away from that whatsoever. I wanted to try to bring out the positive aspects of it, and could you harmonize with people
right.
rather than try to persuade them?
That's why this project was such a groundbreaking work, is because the entire organization that the sales were being done for was all about positivity, you know, spirituality, mm-hmm. connection to a higher sense of, you know, higher sense of calling, better, you know, clean eating, all of those kinds of things. It was a retreat, you know, basically a holistic retreat. And as a result of that, you know, our message to market match is crucial. So you could not have a sales process that was out of alignment with the purpose of what they were doing. Mm. And that became fundamental to developing the trust.
Yeah, that's incredible, because the purpose of this is not to make a sale. The purpose of it is to help the sales guy.
No, the purpose of this is to provide the maximum benefit of the retreat for the—
Sorry, I was talking about it from my perspective. Yeah. I was trying to be selfish there. That if we're trying to sell the Learning Academy, I don't want to make a sale. I want to help a sales guy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I want to help him or her make more sales.
Right.
That's the whole deal.
You want to help the salesperson to help more people.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Okay. So, but wow. the subtlety of that, just listen to that, the subtlety of that, that's groundbreaking in the sales industry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because if you pick any book off the shelf at Barnes & Noble, I'll guarantee you that there'll be some kind of a 3-step, 5-step, 8-step program on how to put the customer in a corner and extract it from them, and then what to do when they have buyer's remorse. Or some of them don't even attract, you know. I had a friend of mine who sold Steinway pianos, and it's a $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 sale for a piano. And he said, Jeffrey, a lot of times people would have buyer's remorse the next day. I said, so what do you do? He said, I always bring them back to why they said yes. So there's an emotional part of the buyer's remorse process that he obviously did something wrong towards the end, because they had buyer's remorse. And then he had to go all the way back to the beginning to resell the process, to right. resell the piano again.
I mean, at least he has a tangible product to sell. I mean, when I look at buyer's remorse for things like insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh gosh.
It's a super important thing to have.
Yeah.
And buyer's remorse should never be part of that equation if it's done properly.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's true. But I'll tell you, you buy the intangible, and the first thing you think about when the guy leaves is, how much is this really going to cost
me? Where's all my money going?
And what do I get for it?
Yeah.
What do I get for my money?
But it sounds like if you're asking the right questions.
Wait, I get a piece of paper that I can't read.
Through Mark's program, he's helping salespeople ask the right questions so they don't even have buyer's remorse.
Right.
That's incredible.
Okay, so let's take it
wow.
to the while I'm thinking of insurance, let me get this out of my head. You have a claim at some point.
Yes.
And you call the claims department. And the woman at the claims department or the guy at the claims department says, have you read your policy? And I would say, I'll give you $1,000 if you can come over to my house and find my policy. I mean,
I know where it is. Just
oh, well, thanks.
But, can I get $1,000 now?
But here's the deal. The question that they ask just set me on fire.
Yeah,
exactly.
It pissed you off. You're -5.
They're
setting, with that question, you're -5.
They're okay. Setting you up for disappointment.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the handwriting's on the wall. Your grandmother's on the roof.
We're not going to cheat you.
Right.
We would never cheat you.
Right. No.
Which basically means get ready. We're about to cheat you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. Mark, this has been awesome. Thank you so
we
much.
We want to pay the
us.
Claim if we possibly can.
Yeah.
We just can't.
Yeah.
So it's a pleasure to talk to the
so
great
much.
Mark Coudray. If you want to talk to him, I would recommend you go to his website.
Coudray.com.
Coudray.com.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. And find Mark. Tell him I send you. Tell him Jen send you. And tell both your friends.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Jen, that was, in my opinion, incredibly interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Incredibly
it's
intriguing. And it gave you, like, you feel inadequate when you listen to somebody like that going, why don't I wake up and think about that?
It's so interesting because it's definitely not something I wake up and think about. And to hear his perspective and to hear Mark talk through some of the things he's been learning and teaching and evolving is incredible.
Yeah, and he's right on the edge of it. I mean, he gets what he's talking about.
Yeah, so I think Doug had a question.
Yeah, so much of this interview revolved around this idea that artificial intelligence is working to augment what the salesperson is already doing, helping them to sort of cut through the weeds and predict when people are ready to buy. Mm-hmm. But I think people listening, I'm gonna take a wild guess here and imagine that their question is, in 10 years and in 20 years, will anyone want to buy from a person, or is it all going to be machines selling to people?
I'm sorry, Doug. I'm afraid I can't answer that.
So people like to buy.
Right.
From people they know, they trust.
I don't think the human element is going to go away.
No, I don't either. But I do think that there will be some skepticism around, is this person really talking to me, or does this person have a bug in their ear telling them exactly how to talk to me?
Well,
I mean, I know I'm already thinking about that now.
Yeah, but the bottom line there is I want that person to be as helpful to me as humanly possible. And I think that artificial intelligence is a bad name for it. I think that it's a real intelligence and real-time intelligence in your ear so that you can be more conversant and you can be more value-driven.
Okay, but it crosses – well, it doesn't cross the line. It meets a fine line of being genuine and authentic and being manipulative.
Here's the deal. We have just witnessed feminine skepticism. And feminine skepticism is going to be there. It was there at
Jeffrey, there are males who are skeptics too about this.
Not like women. And you have to look at it from the perspective of, we're going to take it at its face value, and women are going to go, oh, what's behind that guy? Well, what's he doing? Why is he doing it? Why?
No. Okay. If you have a bug in your ear and you're trying to sell me something and the program is telling you, well, ask it this way instead.
Right.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
It's helpful to the salesperson.
Right.
Okay. And it's a great lesson for the salesperson. But is it changing? Is it being manipulative?
Jeffrey Gittimer, belief system point number 5. If you believe in your heart that the customer is better off having purchased from you.
And your robot.
And your robot, of course. Then you're okay. If you don't believe it. Then you got to switch jobs.
Well, that's key. I agree.
And I think a big question is, can a machine become a trusted advisor? Because I think there are sales that are out there right now that are probably more prone to being taken over by a machine,
right?
Like car sales. You talk about it all the time, Jeffrey, because there's really no trust there anyway. And then there are other sales that you do need to look someone in the eye and trust that they can help you. And you can't do that with the machine as easily.
Think about how much we buy online on Amazon.
Of course, you're going to buy it online anyway. Eventually, car salespeople are going to go. But the bottom line right now is, can the artificial intelligence guy smell the cigarettes on this guy to see how sincere he is? But my feeling is that artificial intelligence might save the salesperson rather than lose the salesperson.
Yeah.
Because the less that guy knows and the more he has to rely on artificial intelligence, the more vulnerable you are to just having an online sale. Now that we know that, and now that we know that artificial intelligence will be there, I'd like to talk about the little gold book of Yes Attitude, because this book has sold 250,000 copies in its first 10 years of existence, which is pretty amazing for that kind of a book. We have relaunched it. It is now the new edition of the little gold book of Yes Attitude, edited by you-know-who, my Jiminy Cricket. And we've added 22 new pages, plus about 200 updates, upgrades. And most people don't understand what an attitude book is. So I'm going to begin this segment. We might have regular ones, but begin the segment on what this book cannot do and what this book can do.
I just want to say that this was such a fun book to edit, because by editing it, I had to read it about maybe 10 times in the past couple of months. And every time I read it, I picked up something new that I could implement and something new that I could challenge myself with, that maybe in my head at first I was thinking, I know that. And I would always remind myself of your strategy of it's mm-hmm. not I know that, it's how good am I at that.
Of course.
And so then I would change my thinking and say, wait, how well am I doing this? And it was life-changing for me.
Cool. And it can be for you too, our great listener.
The Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude is available on Amazon.com.
And you as a diehard have a responsibility, not just to yourself, but to your family and to your coworkers and to both of your friends, to be able to get this book and give it to them as a gift.
All right, so what can the book do and what can it do?
The book cannot do. When you finish reading this book, you will not have a positive attitude, but you will have all the information that you need to convert your attitude from where you are right now to positive and ultimately to yes. The difference between yes and positive is simple. When something great happens to you, you don't scream positive. You scream yes. And it doesn't always have to be the word yes, but it has to imply yes. So the book cannot change your attitude or especially your self-discipline at this moment. That's something that you have to do for yourself. What the book can do is inspire you, show you where you are at the moment, spoon feed you actions and ideas, and give you attitude answers. So if you're looking for something that will give you the inspiration to take you from where you are to where you really want to be or really need to be, then the Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude is the exact companion for you.
So here's what I'd like to do on our upcoming episodes of Sell or Die. I would like to have a segment where we talk about yes attitude, since attitude is so critical to your life and your sales life, mm-hmm. and where our listeners can email in with questions, and you, if you're willing, will expand on and expound on anything from the book that they would like to know more about.
Send it to sellordie@gittimer.com, and if I do your question on the air, I will acknowledge you and send you an autographed copy of the Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude, personalized to you, not coming from some robot someplace. And you will have
and
something
you can give,
that
you can give your original copy away.
Right. Both of your copies. I'm sure you bought multiple copies. But you can give your copy away. I'll have you a signed book, which is always more electric for me when I read a book that's been autographed by the writer. And that's where we're at with Yes Attitude for the moment.
It's a fantastic book. It cannot save you from the coming robot revolution.
No.
But it can make you feel a little bit better about yourself.
Well, you can beat the robot over the head with the book. I mean, that might stop him from moving forward and killing you.
I've seen some of them backflip, though. I'm not sure about that.
Anyway. Yeah,
exactly.
That backflip was pretty impressive. But there's all kinds of bad memes about that. I don't know what the hell they are. I don't really care.
Anyway, so I think that would be a fun segment to add to the show. We take like a chapter, we talk about a point.
Yeah.
And anyone who has any, if you're listening and you have any questions, you want more info about something,
we would love to personalize
it.
We have nothing to do but read your emails. And if you would send it to sellordie@gittimer.com, we will, if we get to what you have given us, we will acknowledge you. You will get a book on us. A $1 million value, yours without charge. So I think it's time. We've talked about Death Wish Coffee. I think it's time for us to beat it. What do you think?
Well, I really am craving a cup of Death Wish Coffee.
Okay, cool.
So sooner we get out of here, no offense, guys, the
my
sooner
name is Jeffrey Gittimer, and I really want to thank you. We're in the new year. I really want to thank you for being a sell or die hard.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have some sell or die hard swag soon.
Yeah.
I'm so
I can't
excited.
Wait for that. So thank you very much for being our customer today.
Thank you for listening. I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm reminding you, get out there and sell something with your yes attitude, even if your ass falls off.
Yes.